You probably already know that a week ago Saturday, Conrad Balliet, host of Conrad's Corner on WYSO, died at the age of 91. Balliet was an Army veteran who fell in love with poetry while stationed in Germany. He went on to teach poetry as an English professor at Wittenberg University for 30 years and was known as a scholar of William Butler Yeats' life and poetry. After his retirement from Wittenberg, Balliet began hosting Conrad's Corner, sharing his love of poetry with WYSO listeners. He did that for 25 years. It was several years after Conrad's Corner began that Balliet met a person who would become his dear friend for the next 20 years. Former WYSO News Director Eileen LeBlanc. She created a show called Sounds Local, and Conrad was a frequent contributor. Today, LeBlanc brings us her memories of Conrad, and then we'll hear from other colleagues who shared his love of poetry.
I'm Eileen LeBlanc. Very soon after I arrived in Yellow Springs, I was cautioned about Conrad. He does not like to be interrupted when he's recording Conrad's Corner. So what did I do? The very first chance I had, I went busting into the studio while he was in there. Conrad was clad in his weekly square dancing togs, and he looked at me funny, and then he dashed out to his waiting steed. Oh, my God, I thought, I've already blown it. So a plan emerged. I was preparing to launch Sounds Local. I went to Conrad, and I asked him if he would like to be part of the show. Ha! I thought, that'll appease him. On September the 24th, 1999, the first Sounds Local aired. Joining us in the studio is Conrad of Conrad's Corner. I thought that for a while that your last name was Corner. It's Balliet?
Something like that. Balliet.
Balliet.
Yes, we say it all.
Conrad Balliet. Conrad has certainly been around WYSO studios a lot longer than I have. How long have you been doing poetry on WYSO, Conrad?
I think it's about 5 years or 5 years last May or something like that.
Tell me a little bit about your background and your love of poetry. How did that happen?
Well, the earliest memory I have is of my mother bouncing me on her foot and saying a Pennsylvania Dutch poem, Ride a Ride a Gaily, Alle Stunde Miley, about a little horse that fell over a ditch and went bump and I fell off her foot. And I also remember poetry hanging on the walls of our house, and my brother gave me the best loved poems of the American people, and I discovered A.E. Houseman. That's sort of how I got started way back when.
And then how did it continue?
When I got into college, I didn't know what to major in, and I wasn't very good at math, and so I finally ended up as an English major, partly because I liked poetry, and then since I was an English major, I did a lot of poetry. Became an English professor, a professor of English at least, well, I really did more Irish than English at Wittenberg for some 30 years.
That all?
I think it was too long, actually. I should have quit about 25 or so.
So you're retired now?
I am retired. I've been retired for almost 10 years.
Usually people have to have some sort of special experience. Poetry is like opera. It's something that you have to learn a little bit about before you really can fall in love with it. What is it? What's so special about poetry for you?
I don't know that you really need to learn anything. If you have ears and feelings, I think that's the most important thing. It's an oral experience. I think it needs to be heard, to be read out loud, either by yourself or by someone else. And basically it plays on the emotions, the words, the rhythms. That's what makes it. And if you learn something about it, that helps, but it's not at all necessary.
You have brought a few short, fun pieces of poetry today and asked me to help you read some of them. So what are we going to do first, Conrad?
Well, yeah, I think we should enjoy poetry and it should be fun. Well, what are you going to do first, Eileen? You said you like to read poetry. Where does your love of poetry come from?
From you, Conrad.
Oh, thank you, Eileen.
Actually, I'm kind of a poetry Luddite. I've always enjoyed it, but when I was forced to enjoy it in college or certain acting classes and whatever. I've always enjoyed Shakespeare's sonnets. I like reading Shakespeare out loud. But Dorothy Parker is always kind of fun, and you brought in a little Dorothy Parker today. This is called Unfortunate Coincidence. By the time you swear you're his, shivering and sighing and he vows his passion is infinite, undying. Lady, make a note of this. One of you is lying.
Yes. That's Dorothy Parker's not very pleasant view of the human situation. I like Arthur Giderman, who has a similar negative or slightly negative view of the human situation called On the Vanity of Earthly Greatness. The tusks that clashed in mighty brawls of mastodons are billiard balls. The sword of Charlemagne the Just is ferric oxide known as rust. The grizzly bear, whose potent hug was feared by all, is now a rug. Great Caesar's dead and on the shelf, and I don't feel so well myself.
Well, you look okay, Conrad.
Oh, well, thank you.
I have to throw this in. This has been one of my favorite Dorothy Parkers. I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Yes, and men seldom make passes at girls who wear glasses, but she doesn't say anything about contact lenses.
And I do need bifocals. Okay, this is Gillette Burgess, The Purple Cow. I never saw a purple cow. I never hope to see one. But I can tell you anyhow, I'd rather see than be one.
So poetry can be fun, and it can also be more serious. We'll have some serious stuff.
We'll have some serious ones, too.
Yes. And thanks for listening.
Thank you. That was the beginning. Sounds Local lasted for 4 years, and I met some really cool people and did some fascinating stories. But my friendship with Conrad lasted forever. He and his son Eddie had built a treehouse, which wasn't in a tree, out on the Conrad farm in Pitchin. It was ostensibly to be a deer watch, but though we sat there time after time for years and years and years, I never saw a deer. Though I did have 7 of them in my backyard in Yellow Springs. We would share our concerns about work, about family, expectations, sorrows, problems. Even when I moved to Kansas, we had treehouse visits on the phone. He was still quite demanding, scolding me once for calling at 4 minutes after 7 when I said I would call at 7. But the friendship was as dear as they get. Our last real treehouse was about a month ago. We had to poke through the brambles, and we had a problem finding our way out. "Come this way, Eileen," he calls out. "There's ivy and thorns." "No, thank you," I yelled back. "I'll find another way." I'll miss you, Conrad.
Former WISO News Director Eileen LeBlanc, and now some local poets share their thoughts of Conrad Balliet.
Hello, everyone. My name is Carol Stoner. I was a member of Conrad's Tower Poetry Group for about 14 years, meeting twice a month, except when Conrad was traveling. We sat in a small living room, often underneath a whirling overhead fan or by a hot burning wood-fed stove. We appreciated, rather than critiqued, poetry. We read our own creations and those of poets we admired. We listened hard to poetry, to its words, to its rhythms, to its meters, and to its strange and joyous juxtapositions. Sometimes we sang together, as at Christmas. We rejoiced when a member had published poems or a chapbook. We published a book together and read at local bookstores. Most valuable to me was Conrad's encouragement to write more and to consider publishing what I had written. We were a band of poets. As many of you know, Conrad was a scholar of Yeats. So I give you this Yeats verse to characterize our Tower Poetry Group. "For to articulate sweet sounds together is to work harder than all these, and yet be thought an idler by the noisy set of bankers, schoolmasters, and clergymen the martyrs call the world."
This is Sharon Lester remembering Conrad and his corner. For years, I've had my phone alarm alert me to the times for Conrad's Corner on WISO, because with each poem, Conrad offered us such a graceful moment in the day. But there's another Conrad's Corner at his home, where he and his son Eddie built a 3-story tower attached to the house. as an homage to William Butler Yeats's tower in Ireland. For more than 20 years now, a group of poets and poetry lovers has gathered twice a month at Conrad's home. In the early years, the group would climb a narrow, circular staircase to the glass-walled room at the top of the tower, where a sign reading Conrad's Corner hung over Conrad's chair, which was actually in the corner. My strongest memory of Conrad is there, in the tower, where Conrad and the tower poets breathed life back into poems that had been imprisoned on paper.
My name's Amy Noel. I'm from Dayton. The first time I went to Conrad's house for Tower Group, there were about 9 of us there who had brought poems on flying, and there was always a theme. Conrad would say the theme and then, or whatever, so we could bring anything that we might have found of interest that we wanted to share with the group. And I was one of the last to arrive, and so I took the empty spot next to his wood stove. And I remember being really grateful to have that chair. It was November. It was a little chilly. So I took the empty chair next to the stove, and after about 3 people had read their work, I remember thinking, I smell something. And it was something sweet, but I thought for sure it was my imagination. I hadn't eaten. I'd come straight from work, so I kind of ignored it. And then 6 or 7 more people shared their poetry. We went around the circle, and this time I thought, surely that is cinnamon I'm smelling. And I looked, and nobody was saying anything, and nobody seemed to notice. And I was new, so I didn't want to ask. And I thought, well, I'm sitting next to the stove, maybe add something to the wood or some aromatics. And then, as if by magic, when we finished reading, when the last person had shared their work, there was a ding from the kitchen, and Conrad went up to the kitchen, and when he came back, he had a TV tray with this piping hot loaf of raisin bread. And he had a tub of butter, and I remember we stood around and talked and shared what we had done that week and what we were reading, and it was just a really warm environment. The people, the bread, I learned that that was his tradition. He would put in the bread when we were arriving, and as if by magic, it would be done just in time for us to break bread with each other. Conrad's legacy is the poetry he championed, certainly. But for me, it was also the relationships he's fostered. I have so many friends now from different walks of life, but we all have one thing in common, and that's the love of words. And Conrad did that. He metaphorically and literally fed us, and I'm so grateful for that.
Conrad Balliet was a champion of local poets. He knew all of them and enjoyed reading their work and interviewing them on his show, generously presenting them to the WISO audience. I've lived in several other cities and have never known of a radio program like Conrad's that featured local people along with the great poets you find in the major anthologies. It is always a great thrill to have someone say, "Heard you on WISO," or "Loved your poem on Conrad's Corner." Thanks for listening.
The thoughts of local poet David Garrison. He, along with Lori Gravely, took over the curation of Conrad's Corner earlier this year when Conrad Balliet decided to dial back his activity just a bit. But Conrad did continue semi-regular visits with WISO music director Nikki Dakota to bring listeners songs and sonnets on Mondays during excursions. Janelle Ravindahl is also a regular on that segment, and we're happy to tell you that she and Nikki will continue highlighting that great marriage between poetry and music each Monday. And now we'll leave you with a poem for Conrad from his friend and poet Herb Martin.
Announcement for Conrad Balliet. The electrical airways of radio and television have announced the Queen of Soul is dead. pancreatic cancer, progressive and deadly. We wait in our various neighborhoods for the news to spread the sacred words and tell us that the gentleman who was so tolerant of all those who wrote in the shadow of the King of the Cats, who struggled mightily with thought and rhythm and sound to a single struggler, stop. And with that courtesy gave us license to fail. He always stood in our private corners, smiling at our daring, our courage, our spit, acknowledging each one of us with the generosity of his wealth of smiles. Now we gather together to say in one concerted voice, thanks for listening.
They shall be remembered forever. They shall be alive forever. They shall be speaking forever. The people shall hear them forever. Let the sea bear witness. Let the shall be speaking forever. The people shall hear them forever. Let the sea bear witness. Let the wind bear witness. Shall hear them forever. They shall be remembered forever. Bear with them. They shall be alive forever. They shall be speaking forever. Bear with them. The people shall hear them forever. They shall be remembered forever. Be speaking forever. There with the people shall hear them forever. They shall be remembered forever. There with they shall be alive forever. They shall be speaking forever. There with the people shall hear them forever.
Welcome to Conrad's Corner, where you hear poets and poetry. Thanks for listening.
They shall be remembered forever. They shall be alive forever. They shall be speaking forever. The people shall hear them forever.